this series has been so close, right, and so tight, and both of these teams are playing just out of their minds.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're just re-showing that, that McDavid goal. I think it was the third goal for the other night where he had to weave around a bunch of players and then a stick, and he passed it to Leon, and it was a power play goal. Still unbelievable. I think you get a situation where the Panthers could get a hold of this game, yep. Right? They could get a hold of this one, especially if they get a couple of goals and if the Oilers start chasing. So, you know what? Have you seen a tighter series?
Not yet. Maybe two, maybe who knows, three straight overtimes. Let's get Belton Johnson's prediction. I know he's our CFL game day analyst here on the Green Zone.
He's been in Canada long enough.
His kids are Canadian. Like he knows hockey.
Yeah.
So Belton, what do you think? Oilers Panthers tonight. What do you got?
Panthers.
Got a Panthers win. What's the score, Belton?
They're back there in Sunrise, Florida, right? They're at home. I'm thinking 4-2, Panthers.
No OT?
Well, not 4-2. You can't have overtime with a 4-2 score. Unless
they get two in OT.
they convert the goal.
I think every one of these games, even if it goes seven, is going to go overtime.
That's your prediction. Okay, yeah. That is bold prediction. Yeah. But Belton, like as a sports fan, are you even gripped by this series on how entertaining it's been? Even though I know you were barbecuing Friday night for game two, but how entertaining has this been for a guy who grew up in Mississippi where I don't know how much skating you did back in the day, but I don't think it was much.
It wasn't no skating at all there, Jamie. And, you know, I have come to love the game of hockey living here. And the exciting part to me is just the physical toughness, man. Like the hits that Florida brings, man, like I'd be scared if I was one of the Orla players with the puck going down the ice there because you don't know where those guys are coming, man. And when they hit, man.
Well, Belton, we haven't been able to talk to you since Thursday in the postgame show when the Riders beat the Ottawa Red Blacks to start the season. Overall, as you look back at last week and we get set for week two, what are you thinking of the green and white?
I think I like what I'm seeing. And I always had to remind people, you know, week one, you know, things do tend to kind of start slowly. I would say more so for the offense than the defense. And I think the Riders, they are on par from what I've seen. And you know, the injuries, like, to me, that was the theme of the game was what they had the injuries and were able to, you know, I don't want to say they were able to keep pace. They almost, you know, they did lose the big lead that they had, but they were able to hang on to it, I guess, Jamie.
Let's talk a little bit more about the injuries, and you're talking about Florida hitting, you know, so the comparison between the two sports is, you know, I'm interested from someone who played the game. Like, I watched that game on Thursday, and I was like, how does a team, when four of your starters go down, I think there might have been one of the four in the second half, but three of those injuries happened in the first half.
Yeah.
Belton, when you're dealing with that, what kind of an impact does that have? Because, I mean, when I saw Hyman in game one rush off the ice in the first period in this Florida Oilers series, I was like, oh, no, that is like a key piece of this puzzle. They're in really serious trouble. And as a fan, your heart sinks, and you're like, oh, no. And when I'm watching this game, I'm just wondering, everybody just seems to just keep moving along with this Riders squad, even though it looked like they were being decimated.
And I think you're right. You hit it right there, right? The fans is probably like you said, oh, no, right? And whereas on the players' standpoint, you know, that next man up mentality. That's truly what it is. You know, I think I was once a backup and everything, and, you know, was able to be a starter. So any of those backups are able to be starters. And, you know, for me, the Riders, just the sheer depth that they have, it's absolutely amazing. I honestly think you could take a second, even a third stringer for some of the Rider players there and insert them, and I think they'll make an impact. You know, I'm not sure how Keaton Schaefer Baker's doing or anything, but from what I saw from Robustelli, if he comes into the lineup, I think he could have a big impact. Just, you know, just the glimpses that we've seen, and he does have a bit of experience as well, right? Or, you know, I don't care who it is that they have. I think anybody could come in there and play just as effective as a starter could.
So the big news today and over the weekend, it's now official. We were joking about it a little bit on the Green Zone postgame show on Thursday. How soon does Kadeem Carey's plane land? Well, the answer was Sunday. What do you think of them bringing in the veteran running back?
Ooh, that just made it seem even better, Jamie. Because, I mean, Kadeem Carey, he's a bona fide star in this league, I think. I think we were all shocked when he had gotten released by the Argos, right? And, you know, he's coming into a team where I think he probably knows just about everybody, you know, on the Riders team from when he was with the Stampeders, I believe. So, or with the Argos when, you know, Coach Mace was over there and everything, right? So it's going to be guys he know already. The one thing I know that he could do, he's a physical runner. That's number one. Number two, he could catch the ball pretty well. And number three, probably the best thing is he can block, Jamie.
Belton, what advice is somebody that came to Canada to play in the CFL, came to Saskatchewan, played with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and you got a guy that's, you know, flying into town. I mean, he's not unfamiliar with Regina. He's not unfamiliar with the CFL. But what advice would you give him as, you know, when he hits the ground and he, you know, steps on the field for, you know, first practices with the Saskatchewan Roughriders? What would you tell him as a former player?
Do what he's done in the past to get him where he's at up to this point, right? Because, you know, I remember seeing Kadeem Carey run the ball last year and everything. And, man, again, a powerful runner. And, you know, especially with Rider Nation, I'm sure everybody, all the fans, I can guarantee they're probably licking their chops, excited and everything for him to be a Rough Rider now. And once he gets on that field in a game, if he shows a third of whatever he's shown in the past, they're going to love him here. You guys know that.
And he's a great dude, too. I've talked to him a few times in his career. Okay, after week one of the Canadian Football League season, there was a lot of talk about, did Nathan Rourke deserve to be on the top 50 list? He was seventh. We mocked the guy who put him first. That person did text me on the weekend with a gift saying, I tried to tell you all. Okay, Nathan Rourke, over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. Should we start to be concerned about the BC Lions?
Making you look bad, Jimmy. Well, that's what happened,
yeah,
basically.
Well, we were picking the Riders to go to the Grey Cup. Are we on high alert now from what the BC Lions showed with Nathan Rourke?
Who did they play, Jamie?
The Edmonton Elks.
All right, let's tone it down, Jeff. No, Rourke did. He had a great game. There's no doubt about it. You know, the stats there you called out, what, 3 touchdowns, over 300 passing. Yeah, he looked great out there. But, you know, I don't put a whole lot of stock into the Elks personally right now till he can play a team with a decent defense, I think, you know. And even though the Riders, right, week one, how many yards did they give up passing? So if Rourke comes in here, he'd probably have a heyday. But, you know, I'm not sure how much pressure the Elks were able to get to him and everything either.
On Thursday, before the game, I rushed off because I had an appointment, and I couldn't stick around. And I walked
What a terrible mistake.
One of the biggest mistakes of my life.
He ate your steak, didn't he? He ate half of your steak, didn't he? Lost.
Did you eat the whole thing? Did you eat two?
No, I only had one.
Anyway, I walked past Darren and his cooking, and then I came in the next day, and all I heard was from everyone on the Green Zone staff was, that may have been one of the best steaks I have ever eaten.
It was the best steak. No, it was the best steak I've ever had in my life.
Where did it stand up to your cooking there, Belton? Was it good?
Hey, that thing, man, that it cut like butter, and it was so juicy, so tender. It put me to shame, Locke. I'm not going to lie to you, man. That steak was perfectly cooked. Perfectly.
You're making this worse, Belton.
So here's the story. Belton, I'm going to tell the story of what happened, okay, on Thursday's pregame show. Because Darren was finished. He's paying off his steak bet to us. He cooks these gigantic, like, 2.5-pound cowboy steaks. He smokes them for an hour and a half out back, brings them up, and he's like, okay, here we go. And now we only have like 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes to eat. And we played an interview that was about 6.5 minutes, my behind enemy lines. And we sat there and ate. And then I said, we have 6.5 here. I'll go back. I'll come out. Then we have a commercial. We have about 10 minutes. And I went back into the studio, do the thing, run back down the hallway, get in a few bites. Belton was not moving. Producer Scott had to actually stop him and go, Belton, you have to go. Yeah. No, you have to go back to the studio. Belton almost quit his job to eat that steak. That's how good it was.
That's how good it was, Locke.
Oh, man, I missed out.
All you had to do was wait another 45 minutes, and you would have been eaten.
Wow. Yeah, that's a mistake. I'm regretting that one, Belton, I'm telling you. I'm glad you got a chance.
You should regret it.
Yeah, and Jamie was so mad that I was getting thrown into that bet because I wasn't a part of it last year.
Oh, and then with the leftovers, thank Darren again. He's like, hey, for leftovers, I know you won't. Nobody will eat the whole thing. Cut it up, steak fajitas. I made steak fajitas this weekend. They were so damn good. Oh, my goodness.
No, I would have eaten the whole thing.
It was good, man.
All right, Belton. We'll leave you with that note, and we'll Saturday.
We'll see you Saturday.
Acre 51 live on location for a watch party, game days with Boston Pizza. Can't wait to be there watching the game with you, Belton.
We're kind of doing a tailgate. Yeah, kind of, hey?
I can't wait either, man. Can't wait.
We'll have the Riders on one screen, Oilers on the other. Game day coming up on next Saturday with the Riders and the Oilers games. But coming up tonight, Sports on Tap in Saskatoon. That's where you want to be with us here with the Green Zone, our watch party. A lot of prizes to give away tonight as well during the game. So join us in Saskatoon at Sports on Tap. Puck drop just past 6 o'clock. This is the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. The Green Zone, send us your predictions. Belton's got 4-2 for the Panthers. We got a couple more Panthers predictions coming in. You're saying 3-2 in overtime again.
Early overtime. I got like first 10 minutes of the first overtime period.
That'll be crazy if 3-2 the first three games go to overtime. 1-877-332-8255. We are at Sports on Tap this afternoon, broadcasting live on location. We are also going to be here for the game. Lots of giveaways, some specials. Sports on Tap in Saskatoon, the place to watch. Game number 3 coming up in about an hour from now with the Oilers and the Panthers.
Come see us to get in on the draw.
Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. As yes, we are still awaiting. We'll see what the lineup looks like when they take to pregame skate real quick here. Ryan Nugent Hopkins of the Oilers is a game time decision tonight. as he is a little bit banged up. So we'll get an update as soon as that happens with game two or game three coming up in about an hour. The Jays going for their fifth series win in a row. They start a three-game set against the Cardinals tonight in St. Louis after beating the Twins in two of three over the weekend. And the Saskatchewan Rough Riders made some news today. Kadeem Carey is now a member of the Rough Riders. He was a recent cut of the Toronto Argonauts after having over 1,000 yards rushing. Of course, A.J. Ouellette went down in week one's win over Ottawa. Coming up next, NHL analyst from 100% Hockey, John Shannon, with a breakdown of Game 3 next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Kenyon Locker with you live in Saskatoon. Sports on Tap on Lorne Avenue, Prairieland Park. That's where you can find us. Swing on in. Watch Game 3 tonight with us. Win some prizes. We have, you know, concert tickets, crash test dummies, Rock the River passes, the bar giving away, jerseys, fridges, a bunch of giveaways tonight during Game 3 Stanley Cup Final.
I like this place.
Sports on Tap, about 45 minutes, 50 minutes away from Puck Drop in Florida for Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. We're getting your predictions, 1-877-332-8255. What do you think's going to happen tonight? Too many people are picking the Panthers tonight. Don't like this.
Getting a lot of Panthers picks.
Maybe lost some faith from that double overtime loss. But we have some analysis coming from John Shannon, longtime NHL analyst, of course, from the 100% Hockey podcast. And we asked him, how entertained is he after so many years of watching hockey in the first two games of this series?
Well, I tell you what, it's an interesting question in the fact that it is not the greatest hockey. You know, it's not, you know, Montreal Canadiens and Red Army on New Year's Eve in Montreal, but it probably has the most tension on the ice of any hockey game I've watched in the National Hockey League for the last two decades. This is like the Thriller in Manila. These are two heavyweight teams. They both have depth. They both have stars. And really, what they do is it's you know, punch counter punch all night long. And you see the Panthers go on a little bit of a string for 8 or 9 minutes, and then it's the Oilers' turn to do that. The ability of the Oilers to move the puck along the outside before that darn Florida forecheck gets into place,
yeah.
It is really, really fun to watch.
John, you mentioned the stars, and we've actually commented about that a couple of times already today, how much fun it is watching the fact that they're having an impact on this series on both sides, on both the Oilers and the Panthers. But in your mind, has there been a star for either team, or is it just too easy to just say McDavid, that has had the most impact in your mind?
The Oilers side, I mean, it's difficult not to pick Connor. It really is, because he's, you know, so much revolves around him carrying the puck. But at the same time, on the Florida side, it's almost a pick 'em, because when you look at what Sam Bennett has done, and you look at what Brad Marchand has done, you know, it's almost, if you take Connor out of the equation, and you know, remember when we were kids, you used to have the drafts for the pools, and it was anybody but Gretzky. So yeah. you could take Connor out of the equation, then it's similar guys on both sides that are making impact. Corey Perry, Evander Kane, Matthew Tkachuk, Brad Marchand, Sam Bennett. You know, none of these guys are ever going to win the Lady Bing. And so, quite frankly, that's how you play winning hockey. This is the way these guys play it. To the edge, over every once in a while, hoping you don't get caught, and then come back and then be physical again. You know, when you look at, and look at who's scoring the goals. You know, Sam Bennett, Brad Marchand, Evander Kane, Corey Perry. These are the guys that are making a real impact on this series other than Connor McDavid.
John Shannon, 100% Hockey, a podcast is where you can check out his work throughout the NHL season and more. But, John, okay, can we have a little discussion, as there always is, about officiating in the Stanley Cup? How would you like it officiated? Like, would you like them to get out of the way and like, because we have this debate with Drew all the time on officiating, and it's like they don't want to impact the game, but they're impacting the game by not calling a penalty, by not calling too many men, by not calling, you know, illegal interference. That is having an impact. So, John, how would you like to see
kicking a stick?
What from especially game two and some non-calls that helped out the Florida Panthers?
I actually have very little complaint about the officiating in the first two games. Because I think that if you look through blue and orange colored glasses versus red and blue colored glasses, I think you could probably pick out six situations in the game that impacted your team worse than the opposition. And I think that people in Fort Lauderdale could say the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I like a little bit of grit in the game. I like contact. This is going to sound really strange. I don't mind cheating every once in a while when it comes to hockey. Cheating, you know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying to win. And that's what these guys are doing. I mean, you know, for every time that we can complain about Matthew Tkachuk or complain about Sam in front of the net, let's look at what Corey's doing in front of the net. Let's look at what Evander Kane did in the corner. You know, so I think that it depends on the angle with you, you know, in which you watch the game. And quite frankly, both teams are complaining about the issue. Both teams. And that's probably the ultimate compliment when it comes to officiating, is saying if they're both ticked off, then we're calling the game at a level that both sides know what they can get away with and what they can't, and it's not a bad situation to have. Just don't miss the and this is going to sound corny, but the black and white things. Don't miss an offside. Well, we solved that problem. We solved that problem with video review. Don't miss a puck over glass. We solved that problem with video review. The only issue we're going to have every once in a while, guys, you know this as well as I do, is we're going to have a goalie interference question. Mm-hmm. And so far, I haven't had an issue with what is and what isn't goalie interference. When you consider that you know, the Sam Bennett goal in game one really was a Brett Kulak trip. So, you know, the Oilers made a mistake and challenged, and it cost them a goal. So I don't have a problem with the way the officiating is right now. But I don't have any skin in the game. I mean, I sit here and love the game the way it is.
John, one of the interesting things that and I'm guilty of it as well, with this series is the Oilers, there were a number of deficiencies within their game that were pointed out. And before every series and while during every series, you had the comments about, they can't defend, whatever it was. It kept being a narrative, and they're up against Vegas, and they're going to get killed. They're up against Dallas. Dallas is going to destroy them. Now they're going into Florida. Florida's going to, and the one thing that I think has been answered, and maybe should be put aside, and I don't know if you agree with me, is the Skinner conversation. Even though it keeps coming up, we had a caller in the last 45 minutes that went, you know, came in and said, Skinner's going to lose him a game. He's a horrible goalie. And so I'm just wondering if the doubt on the Skinner side of the conversation should go away, in your opinion.
Well, I just wish that Calvin Pickard's cousin would stop phoning in. I think Stuart Skinner's answered every question now.
Yeah.
I truly do. And I also think that the team – deserves credit for getting Skinner through, you know, that, you know, those mental lapses that he had. If you watch what the Oilers do when they're on their defensive game, Skinner can make the first save, but there's not very many rebounds that go in the hands of the Florida Panthers. Mm-hmm. If the Panthers do get the rebound, then there's an issue. But the Oilers have done a really good job in their own zone of making sure there isn't a second chance. And that falls on what Darnell Nurse has done, and Matthias Ekholm, and Kulak, and Brett, and Troy Stetcher when he was in there. And even Evan Bouchard, who I think has probably played some of his best hockey. He's going to make mistakes every once in a while, guys. We have to live with that. But I think as a crew, that group of six has done a magnificent job in front of Skinner, which has allowed Skinner to regain his confidence.
John Shannon with us. 100% Hockey is where you can find his podcast. We started talking about your history as a producer and executive. Hockey Night in Canada in the 80s, you got the benefit of being the Western producer, the Western side. Are you having deja vu of these orange and blue Oilers jerseys with not quite 99 but 97 and flying up and down the ice, John? Do you go, wait, I think I might have seen this before?
I think this is crazier. I really do, and a lot of it has to do with the environment that has been created at Rogers Place.
Yeah.
You know, as much as we used to think old Rexall or Northlands, whatever you want to call it, was loud. And I don't know if you guys remember, I still remember Andy Van Helleman skating up to Paul Laurio, the anthem singer, I think it was in 1985, and demanding that he start singing the anthem, otherwise the crowd was going to drown everything out. But nothing like this. Nothing like this. It has, in so many ways, I describe it now as Mardi Gras with hockey. Because when you think about the face painting and you think about everybody wearing their sweater and everybody with their beads on and their wigs, it's a full-fledged party at Rogers Place. And that really, the fact that it has become that in that downtown arena has made so much of a difference to the city of Edmonton. It is, as much as I'd like to say that it's deja vu, this is 10 times louder and 10 times more fanatical than I remember what we saw in the 1980s.
That is John Shannon here on the Green Zone. We are live from Sports on Tap for our watch party ahead of Game 3. Oilers and the Florida Panthers swing on in. They have a lot of prizes in-house here. We have some concert ticket giveaways. They have some jerseys, some other things to give away as well. So come on in. Saskatoon Sports
Beer
on Tap.
Flinches?
Yeah.
We got everything.
They got it all to give away. So head on in for Game 3. What are we, about a half an hour away from a puck drop as the Oilers take on the Panthers? Coming up next, as always, wrapping up the show with one champ and one chump on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, one champ, one chump on the Green Zone, and we're going to start. I want to change the chump, actually.
What are you doing?
I gave you the top grade.
For my OT, double OT prediction from Friday.
To make
Friday
up for that, can I chump you for leaving on Thursday and missing Darren's steak that he made for you? Because you missed a good, high-quality 2.5 pounds of beef.
Well,
that
I deserve it, and I have lost sleep over this. And what makes it worse is that I think I can smell out a liar in my life, and every single one of you, to a man, has been, oh my goodness, it was all the best steak I've ever. So
we are not lying.
No, I thought, well, maybe they're just trying to make me feel bad, but then every single one of you rolled through and rolled this same story and the same narrative out.
It was so good.
Yeah, and I remember when I walked out, because I had to be somewhere at 6.
Yeah.
And when I walked out the door, I said, how long is this going to be, Darren? And he went, 45 minutes. And I went, I'm going to regret this.
You should have canceled the appointment. All righty. But I do also want to chump the LA Angels. They complained that the first base coach of the Boston Red Sox was tipping pitches to Red Sox hitters. They got four runs. And the reason I am chumping the LA Angels is because the first base coach pretty well said, I can tell what he's doing based on how he's setting up every single time.
Yeah.
So that's not using electronics. That's just being terrible at hiding your pitches. So,
I have a friend that played baseball for a lot of years at a fairly high level, and basically what he said, and he said that this is somewhat of a belief structure through the entire like baseball community and culture. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Exactly. So. And our champ today on the Green Zone, it's a rare...
Drew Remanda for showing up live.
Well, that's one. It's okay. A rare champ. We chump him a lot. But Aaron Rodgers is our champ today.
The Green Zone is champing Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, because give the man credit. He just signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend. Cam Hayward actually was criticizing the whole charade a couple of weeks ago when he said, you know, you're either a Steeler or you're not a Steeler. Pretty well make a damn decision. Well, guess where Aaron Rodgers was today on like his second day as a Steeler?
He was at camp.
He was at Cam Hayward's charity golf event for Irons for Impact to help support Cam's cause, the new teammate. Aaron Rodgers was there for that event. There you go.
That's actually pretty – I thought maybe it was going to be a roundabout way of
– chumping him?
Chump. Okay. Good for you, Jamie. You're growing.
The wrong direction. But, yes, Aaron Rodgers is our champ. Here on the Greens.
This place is starting to fill up, Jamie.
It's almost puck drop. Almost time to get going as we look at the one-minute drill. The latest in sports. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is on the ice for line rushes ahead of game number three. That is good news for the Oilers. Getting set in a tie series 1-1 ahead of game number three. Also, in baseball, the Toronto Blue Jays continue to win series. 2 of 3 over Minnesota. Now they're taking on the St. Louis Cardinals. That one's getting going, of course. And the Saskatchewan Roughriders bringing some reinforcements after injuries in week one, including veteran running back Kadeem Carey. Head on down Sports on Tap in Saskatoon. That's where we're watching Game 3. Come win some prizes as well with the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.